Ask that you would turn with me in your Bibles to your Old Testament, in the book of Joshua, chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7 is where our lesson is going to be this morning. It is very popular for lessons of New Year's resolutions to be preached the Sunday before or the Sunday after the New Year has started. And with that comes spiritual resolutions. Maybe it is we want to read our Bible more, read our Bible every day, go through the entire year and read our complete Bible. There are schedules that you can find on the internet and different things. And if you would like to, I might find some for you if that is an interest you have. But to read the complete Bible in 1 year. Or maybe your New Year's resolution is to be a better wife to your husband, be a better husband to your wife, a better child to your mother and father, or to be a better parent, or to just be generally a better person, a better Christian. These things are most certainly important. These things must be our number one priority. There are many resolutions that you can have. You want to lose weight. You want to be better physically fit. You want to be better at work. You want to be a better provider for your family. You want to do all these different things. But the main priorities we must have and that must come before everything are these spiritual resolutions. And these are not something that should just be thought about at the beginning of every year. I think that's something we often fall into. The new year rolls around and we get on fire for the Lord. We want to change what we're doing. And we don't do it until the first of the year. January 1st rolls around, that's when we start and not a day before. But it's something that we need to understand. We have to start now. We have to start when we understand that we are falling away or when we are lacking in our desire and zeal for the Lord, that we must renew that as soon as we can. It's something that we must not put off. But in doing this, I want to want you to recognize, and what we're going to look at this morning, is that everything that we resolve to do, everything that we want to change about ourselves, and we're talking about spiritual things this morning, we're not talking about anything physical, losing weight, earning more money, doing any of that stuff, but spiritual resolutions. The only way we can accomplish those things and change our life for the better in that way is through the Lord. We're kind of following up. It's kind of connecting to the class that we had this morning in Revelation, that we have victory in the Lord. That is the title of the lesson this morning, victory in the Lord. And the only success we have spiritually is through God and through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that is the only place where we have this victory, where we have this success. We do not need to lose sight. As we're going through our New Year's resolutions and we're finding success in these things, perhaps you are reading your Bible every day. And because of that, you're gleaning knowledge from God's Word and you are more confident about yourself throughout your efforts of spreading the words of God's kingdom. Maybe people are noticing it in you and complimenting you on that and letting you know that they see growth in you. But you do not need to lose sight that this is from the Lord. All this success is through God and only Him. And it is only Him that is giving it to you. You are not earning all this yourself. You are not gaining all this wisdom and knowledge by yourself. Rather, it is through God and His Word that He has given to us. And it is through Him we have success and we have victory. Ultimately, in salvation in heaven, if we are obedient to His will one day, when He comes again, He will take us to heaven with Him. And that is only through Him. We cannot do anything to earn this. Rather, it is because of God's good grace and His mercy toward us that we have that hope of eternal life in heaven with Him. But here in Joshua chapter 7, we read of the children of Israel. And you might remember back in the previous chapter that they have just conquered that city of Jericho. They have marched around that city 7 times and they shouted on that 7th day. And after the 7th time, they marched around that city on the 7th day and the walls fell and they were able to conquer that city. And they recognized that God had given this city to them. We see in chapter 6 and in verse 1 that the Lord tells them, "Go into Jericho, I have given this city into your hands. I have given you this city. This is because of me," God speaking, "that you are able to conquer these cities." They have gone through the wilderness wandering for 40 years. They have come back to the same spot where they had sent spies into the land, and they did not have the faith that was necessary to go in and conquer that land. They thought that the people were too big, that they had too many resources, that this was not going to be possible to conquer all these people in the land of Canaan, this promised land which the Lord had given them. And so God punished them and made them wander in the wilderness for 40 years. And they've got a full circle coming around. And they're here at the River Jordan. And they're ready to cross over. This time with Joshua as their leader, we remember that Moses struck the rock instead of speaking to it. And he was not able to enter the promised land. And so Joshua is the leader that is going to take them into the promised land. And they go over into that promised land. They send spies in to spy out the land, and specifically Jericho, and they conquer that land, and so they come along to this city of Ai. And I want to start reading, not in verse 1, but verse 2. We'll get back to verse 1 in a second. Joshua chapter 7. They have just defeated Jericho, and they're must be high on their victory and their effort, and they know the Lord is with them. But notice in verse 2 that Joshua sent men from Jericho to Jericho, and I'm going to call it Ai. Some people pronounce it I. I'm not sure exactly what the correct pronunciation is, but I'm going to say Ai. So verse 2, Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Avon on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them saying, "Go up and spy out the country." So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few." So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from the gate as far as Shebarim, and struck them down on the descent. Therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. I want you to notice here what Joshua did. We go back to chapter 6 and we see that before they went into Jericho, the Lord gave them instruction exactly what to do. He said, "I have delivered Jericho into your hand." We don't see that here in chapter 7. We don't see the Lord saying, "Go do this and that and this. I've delivered Ai into your hand, so go and conquer them." Rather, Joshua said, "Send some spies into that city." And then he said, "Send 3,000 men. Don't weary any of the other men. Don't send a ton of people of my army into that city of Ai, because we don't need it. The people of Ai are few. They are weak. We can conquer them." I think, and I think we see that Joshua might have had a little arrogance within this manner and this command that he had given. Maybe he had lost sight that God had been delivering these cities into his hand. That is the only reason they could conquer that land of Canaan and subdue that promised land that God has given them. Because God is with them and he delivers those cities into his hand. But it seems as though he has lost sight of this. He took it in his own hands and he commanded that army to go and do this and that. Only take a few because Ai is so small. He undermined them. He didn't think they were as big as they were. He didn't think that they could conquer them. They thought they could do it all by themselves. But we do not see God saying, "I have delivered Ai into your hand." Of course, we'll read a little bit about that in chapter 8 toward the end of the lesson. But we want to make application of this to our own lives. It is often that we have these goals in our lives, perhaps resolutions for the year of 2014, or you look back of your resolutions on 2013. Did you accomplish these things? Do you wish you would have done better? Obviously, we usually do wish we would have done better. We don't always accomplish what we want to accomplish and the goals we set forth at the beginning of the year. But those goals that you did accomplish, perhaps you were faithful and consistent with your Bible reading and you finished the entire Bible in the year of 2013. Perhaps you have gained wisdom and knowledge of God's Word and you are a much better Christian than you were a year previous. But where is your faith? Where is your confidence? Is it in your own action and your own understanding, or is it in the Word of God and in His power to give you those blessings? Romans 8 and verse 31 says, "If God is for us, who can be against us?" That is the ultimate principle we have to know, that God is the one that prevails. God is the one that allows us to succeed. He gives us our enemies into our hands. He helps us conquer these things. He helps us conquer sin. He helps us conquer eternal damnation in hell, because we don't have to do that. We can have a hope of going to heaven because God has sent His Son for us. But we see here in chapter 7 of Joshua that they did not have God with them. And it is obvious because they had God with them in Jericho. The walls fell and they were able to conquer that great city. It said there were men of valor in that city. It wasn't little like Ai. Except in Ai, they did not have God with them. And it says in verse 5 that their hearts of the people melted and became like water. Put yourself in that position. You have just conquered this great city of Jericho with mighty men of valor, a great number of the city, had great walls, and all of a sudden they just fell. You didn't do anything physically to them. You just did what the Lord commanded you, and the walls fell by themselves. God made those walls fall, and because of that, you were able to rush into the city, and you conquered them. You are high on this victory. You are very excited that God is on your side. And then you see this little city over here, Ai. Not very many people. Joshua says, don't send all of us in. Don't weary the other men. Send in about 3,000, and you will be able to conquer this city. And then all of a sudden, they had men that died in this battle. They had men that failed in their attempt to conquer the city of Ai. And it says their hearts melted. All of a sudden, they don't feel the presence of the Lord. And it's obvious because they just lost to this small town, this small city of Ai. God was not with them. Sometimes we feel that in our lives. Perhaps you go through your life and everything's going fine, everything's going well, and then all of a sudden something goes wrong and maybe you feel alone. You feel like God is not with you. But I want you to understand that that only happens because of one reason. We need to understand that reason. That God is absent when we sin. We know that if God is for us, who can be against us? But the only way God is with us and God is for us is if we are righteous and if we are faithful to Him. If we are on His side in this spiritual warfare that we are fighting every day. And if God is for us, who can be against us? In Mark 10, in verse 27... Jesus is talking about that it is harder for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven than for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And he says in verse 27 that with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. The only reason they could conquer Jericho, the only reason they eventually conquer Ai, as small a city it is, and the only reason they can take this promised land and subdue it is because God is for them. But God was not for them. In this chapter 7 of Joshua, when they go into Ai, we know that in verse 1, it says the children of Israel in Joshua 7 committed a trespass regarding the accursed things for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. We go back to the first verse of that seventh chapter before we see that they were defeated by Ai, and we know exactly why this happened. Why was the Lord absent from their presence? Why wasn't He with them when they went into Ai? It is because they committed a trespass. We remember back in chapter 6 that before they went into Jericho, the Lord said, I have given you this city into your hands. You must go and conquer it, and I will be with you. You will be successful. You will prevail. But don't take of any of the accursed things. Leave them there. Kill all the people. Don't take anything with you from the city of Jericho. The only ones that were to live were Rahab the harlot and her family. We remember she hid the spies when they went in to spy out Jericho. And she was faithful in putting that scarlet thread on the window seal. And she was preserved in that destruction of Jericho. But he said, don't take of the accursed things. We see in verse 1 of chapter 7 that Achan, the son of Carmi, did take of the accursed things. And this was a trespass. And we see the effects of sin, not only on him and his family, but the entire camp of Israel. That because of one man's sin and one man's failure to do what God had told them not to do, or to not do what God had told them not to do, or to do what God had told them to do, the whole children of Israel suffered the consequences. They were sent into Ai and they failed. And it is because sin was in the camp. In chapter 7 and verse 6, we read more of this, that Joshua tore his clothes after they were defeated by Ai. He fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening, he and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off your name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? We see Joshua is distraught. He is sad and he is confused and maybe a bit angry at what had just happened. He might have went in not knowing that the Lord was not with them. Maybe he had the full faith that God would deliver them and would give Ai into his hands and they would be able to conquer this city. Yet he did not know there was a trespass in the camp. He's confused. Why did this happen? So the Lord said to Joshua in verse 10, "Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things and have stolen and deceived. And they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you." When you are feeling so strong spiritually and you're going through your life and everything's going right and then all of a sudden something goes wrong and it's for no good reason. It's not always because you sin. Life is not fair. These physical things are not always going to work out for you. We need to understand that God is for us if we are faithful to Him spiritually, and He is going to give us these spiritual blessings. Most specifically, the hope of eternal life in heaven with Him if we obey His word. But when we go through this, we need to examine our lives. Why do we feel like God is not with us? Why do we feel alone? Perhaps it's because of sin. Maybe it's sin that you don't even know you committed. But ignorance is not an excuse. We know in Acts that Paul had been talking to those men of Athens and he sees all the altars that have been built up and erected for these gods to worship, and they had this one to the unknown God. He said, "Truly these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Ignorance is not an excuse, but maybe you have sinned in some way and God is not with you because that sin has not been repented of. Perhaps you have done something that you did not know was a sin, and you thought it was perfectly wrong, perfectly fine. But all of a sudden you feel alone, you feel that God is not with you, and He is not with you because you have sinned and have not repented of that sin. Sin cannot be forgiven of unless you have repented of that sin. Maybe you pray to God and your prayers are not being answered. Now, our prayers are always answered, perhaps not in the way we want them to be answered. It's either a yes or a no. But maybe God is not hearing your prayers. In James chapter 5 and verse 16, James writes that the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Not a sinful man. Not a man who is not righteous. Righteousness is basically being right. And it's not being right by the world's standards, but being right by God's standards. And we see that in the Bible. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. God is not going to hear your prayers. God is not going to answer your prayers if you are not righteous. And God was not with them at Ai. He was not there to help them conquer this city, even though it was so much smaller and more feeble than the city of Jericho. He was not with them. They failed because there was sin in the camp. That is the same with us in our lives. You cannot be pleasing to the Lord. You cannot have these 2014 New Year's resolutions of a spiritual nature and expect to be successful in those efforts if you have sin in your life. And so before you make any of these resolutions, before you decide to start any of these resolutions, we're not going to talk about any specific things. This is not the kind of lesson we're going through. But you need to understand that the basic thing you need to make sure you have in your life is that you are right with God. That you are a righteous person. That sin is absent in your life. We know Romans 3:23 says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That is absolutely true. I have sinned, you have sinned, but we are not walking in sin. We cannot walk in sin. It is not something that we practice. It's something that we might stumble upon and we might fall to every great once in a while. People say in prayers, and they pray in public prayers, that Father, we often fall short. And I understand what they're saying is that we do fall short. It is possible for us to fall short. We're not perfect. We're nowhere close to perfect. And that's the point they're making. But we should never often sin or sin often. It's not something that should be in a Christian's life. We should abstain from that sin, push it out of our lives, and not walk in it, but we should walk in the righteous way which God has set up for us to walk in. When we have sin in our life, we cannot have that comfort of God being with us. That is why it is so important to recognize that sin and to pray for forgiveness of that sin and repent of it. That's a complete change. We must do that in order to be right in the sight of God. So we see that God was not with the children of Israel when they first went into that city of Ai, and they were conquered because of it. In verses 12 through 15, we see that at the end of verse 12, God says, "Neither will I be with you anymore unless you destroy the accursed from among you." What was he talking about? He was talking about Achan and his family, the people that took those accursed things. He was talking about getting rid of those accursed things, not just understanding that it was wrong to take them and you can keep them in the camp. You can have them for your own pleasure. He said, "Get rid of them or I'm not going to be with you. You are over on this other side of the Jordan and you are there and you are trying to conquer this land that I have promised you, this land that I have given you, but you're not going to be able to do it without me. And I'm not going to be with you unless you push this sin and the accursed things out of the camp." And so we continue on in verse 13. He tells them what they need to do to make their lives right, to make everything pure and be back on the righteous path. In verse 13, it says, "Get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, there you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take come man by man. Then it shall be that he who is taken by the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, and he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel." They were told exactly what they needed to do to get their lives right with God, so that they could go and conquer this small city of Ai. Something that seemed so easy to do after they had just conquered this great city with men of valor in Jericho, that had these great walls that just fell over and they were able to conquer them. But he says, "You're not going to be able to conquer anything or anyone unless you get this accursed thing out of this camp, out of my sight and out of your presence." And he tells them exactly what they need to do to get their lives right with God. And continuing on in verse 16, we see that he did it. Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. He brought the clan of Judah, and he took the family of the Zerahites, and brought the family of Zerahites by man by man, and Zabdi was taken. Then he brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Now Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession to him, and tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." And Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them. There they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent with the silver under it." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was hidden in his tent with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, "Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day." So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned them with the fire after they had stoned them with the stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of the place had been called the Valley of Achor to this day. So God told them exactly why they failed to conquer the city of Ai. And then he told them what they must do about it. You must repent. Turn around. That's what repentance means, a 180, a turnaround. And in the New Testament, we see the Greek word literally means to think differently. You can't always do something physical to show that you have repented. Sometimes It is a change of mind, a change of heart, an understanding that what you did before was wrong and I'm never going to do that again. And I understand that I have sinned and transgressed against God, and I have that godly sorrow which leads to repentance. Knowing that you have done something the Lord has told you not to do, or knowing that you have not done something that the Lord has told you to do, repentance is either doing that thing or abstaining from doing that thing because he has told you not to do it. It is a change of mind, a change of heart, to think differently. That's what they did. God said, "Do not take from any of the accursed things from Jericho." Achan did this. He was a child in the midst of the children of Israel. He was part of the chosen people of God, and he transgressed against the Lord. There was sin in the camp, and so God is not going to be with them. When sin is present, the Lord is not with us. And we must get rid of that sin, and that is what Joshua took in his leadership role to do. He obeyed the commands of the Lord and stoned them and burned them and got rid of the accursed things, and now they are right with the Lord, ready to go into Ai and defeat them in chapter 8. In our lives, when we sin, God is not with us. But he tells us what we need to do. And the only person that will do that is a person with a good and honest heart. We remember in Acts 2 that Peter is preaching that first gospel sermon. And he is talking about this Jesus, the Lord and Savior, the Son of God, God in the flesh, who dwelt among us as a man, and you crucified him. How terrible that must have been. We see that the children of Israel, their hearts melted when they lost to Ai and they were defeated. What about those Jews who are God's chosen people and profess to be those right people and to profess to be seeing and waiting for the Messiah, and they've rejected him and crucified him? And Peter tells them what they must do. He says, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2 and verse 38. He said, repent. It's the first thing you have to do. If you go and be baptized, you're just getting wet if you have not repented of your sins, if you have not been sorrowful in a godly manner for what you have done. And it is the same for us. After we have even put on Christ in baptism, when we sin again, we must repent of that sin. It doesn't matter if you've come forward and told everyone, "I'm sorry and I'm not going to do it again." If you go back and you don't have that change of mind and that change of thinking and understand that what you did was wrong, and that you were wrong, and that you need to change that in your life, you have not repented. And God knows. God is the one who can know that you were truly repented. God is the only one that can know your heart and your way of living. And you must prove that to him. Repentance is necessary. We see in Acts 17 and verse 30, referenced earlier, that ignorance is not an excuse. God has overlooked those times of ignorance when those people were offering up worship to these idols, and he commands all men everywhere to repent. He doesn't leave anyone out in that statement. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live, needs to repent of their sins, because we know all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And without doing that, God is not going to be with you. The same as it was with the children of Israel in Joshua chapter 7. They had just defeated Jericho, and they were very excited about entering into this promised land. And all of a sudden, this little city of Ai defeats them. Their hearts melted. And we feel that when we sin. If we are truly sorrowful and we know God is not with us, our hearts melt. That leads to repentance. It led to repentance with the children of Israel. They knew that something was wrong. They asked the Lord, "Obviously you weren't with us. Why was that so?" And he said, "It's because you sinned. There's sin amongst you. You need to get rid of that before we can go any further." And so we see that, and we continue on in chapter 8. In chapter 8, in verse 1, we see that they needed to make a difference. And they made that difference. And now they are going on to the same city of Ai. And let's see what happens. "The Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. Take all the people of war with you and arise. Go up to Ai. See, I have given it to your hand, the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land.'" That's a complete difference from what happened in chapter 7. In chapter 7, without the Lord telling anything to Joshua, he instructed the army to take over 3,000 men and go in and defeat Ai, and obviously it didn't work. Well, we see the same in chapter 6. If you want to turn over there, in chapter 6 and verses 1 through 2, when we are considering what they had to do to defeat Jericho, in chapter 6 and verses 1 through 2, we see that Now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and mighty men of valor. I have given them into your hand. The only way we can be successful spiritually is through the Lord. God has given us the things we need to conquer evil, to conquer the devil, to overcome these temptations, to overcome these wrongdoings, and ultimately to get to heaven for eternal life with Him someday. And it's only through Him that this is possible. When we are going through our goals and our New Year's resolutions throughout our life and spiritual nature, we must understand that we can't do this without God. And if we have sinned and we have sin in our lives, then God is not with us. We must repent of that sin. And then we can have a complete turnaround like the children of Israel had in chapter 8. When they defeated Ai in verse 18 of chapter 8, we see the Lord said to Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in your hand toward Ai, for I will give it into your hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear that was in his hand toward the city. So those in ambush, verse 19, rose quickly out of their place. They ran as soon as they had stretched out his hand, and they entered the city and took it, and hurried to set the city on fire. And when the men of Ai looked behind them, they saw, and behold, the smoke of the city ascended to heaven, so they had no power to flee this way or that way. And the people who had fled to the wilderness turned back on the pursuers. Now when Joshua and all Israel saw that the ambush had taken the city and that the smoke of the city ascended, they turned back and struck down the men of Ai. Then the others came out of the city against them, so they were caught in the midst of Israel, some on the side and some on that side. And they struck them down, so that none of them remain or escape. But the king of Ai they took alive and brought him to Joshua. It came to pass when the Israel had made the end of slaying all the inhabitants of Ai in the field, in the wilderness where they pursued them, and they had fallen by the edge of the sword until they were consumed, that all the Israelites returned to Ai and struck it with the edge of the sword. So it was that all who fell that day, both men and women, were 12,000, all the people of Ai. For Joshua did not draw back his hand with which he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. Only the livestock and spoil of that city Israel took as booty for themselves, according to the word of the Lord, which he had commanded Joshua. So Joshua burned Ai and made it a heap forever, a desolation to this day. And the king of Ai, he hanged on a tree until evening. And as soon as the sun was down, Joshua commanded that they should take his corpse down from the tree, cast it at the entrance of the gate of the city, and raise over it a great heap of stones that remains to this day. That was powerful. And all of that happened because God was with them. And the only reason God was with them is because they repented. They got rid of that sin. They got rid of the accursed things that were in the camp. They got rid of everything that they needed to be right in the sight of God. And it was only because of that that they defeated this small city of Ai. We see that there were 12,000 that were at Ai. That was the whole city, 12,000. We remember when the children of Israel left Egypt, how many people that was. Too much to fathom. Millions. There was a ton of people that left this city of Egypt and that God delivered. And how many people that it took to destroy Ai. It says that God commanded 30,000 men to go into Ai after Joshua had already said only 3,000. 3,000 didn't work. Was it necessarily because 3,000 was too little to defeat that town of Ai, that city of Ai? No, it's because the Lord wasn't with them. But the Lord told them what to do, and they did it. And we see this success here. When we make New Year's resolutions, when we make goals, when we want to get to heaven and have that desire, which all men should have, the only way to do it is by reading God's Word, because that's the only way we can communicate with Him. We pray to Him, He answers our prayers in some ways unexpectedly, in some ways that we can't fathom or understand. But the ultimate knowledge we can have of Him and what we need to do to please Him is in His Word. And that's the only way we can please Him. We need to understand, we need to get our lives right with Him. Purge the sin out of our lives, repent of that sin. And then we can have victory in the Lord. Paul says in Philippians 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Some people take this verse out of context and take that to mean anything that you can ever think of you can do if you are in Christ. You can do all things through Christ. I can go play in the NBA through Christ who strengthens me. That's not what it's talking about. You look at the context before, he's talking about learning to be content. He has learned how to be abased and to not need anything, and then to need things when he needs to have those things. But he has learned to be content. He has the things he needs to be spiritually right with the Lord. He has the hope of heaven. And because of that, he has learned to be content. And he can do all things through Christ who strengthens him. He can overcome all trials and tribulations. He can understand that he can withhold these temptations and these things that he has to go through. He can do everything he needs to get to heaven through Christ who strengthens him. And it is the same for us today. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And only that way. All things are not possible for men, but all things are possible for God. Mark 10 and verse 27. We need to understand that in order to have victory, and ultimately the spiritual victory, we know that we are here to fear God and keep His commandments. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. The ultimate way, the ultimate goal is to get to heaven. To live a life that is so pleasing to God that when the judgment comes, we understand we are going to heaven for eternal life. And the only way to do that is through Christ, who strengthens us. He has come down to this earth. He has died on the cross for our sins. He has gone through everything we have gone through spiritually, and He has prevailed. He has won, and so we can win, as we're learning in Revelation in our Sunday morning class. I want to end this lesson by reading the rest of Joshua chapter 8, because there is an idea expressed here. At the end of this victory at Ai, something that Joshua did that we all need to do, that we all need to focus on. It is the only way to have victory in the Lord. It is the only way to have Him on our side, and it's the only way that we know what to do to please Him. In verse 30 it says, Joshua built an altar to the Lord God of Israel in Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord had commanded the children of Israel, as it is written in the book of the law of Moses. An altar of whole stones over which no man has wielded an iron tool. And they offered on it burnt offerings to the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings. And there in the presence of the children of Israel, he wrote on the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he had written. Then all Israel, with their elders and officers and judges, stood on either side of the ark before the priests, the Levites who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, the stranger as well as he who was born among them. Half of them were in front of Mount Gerizim, and half of them in front of Mount Ebal, as Moses the servant of the Lord had commanded before, that they should bless the children of Israel. And afterward, notice, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and the cursings, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word, not one word, of all that Moses had commanded, which Joshua did not read before all the assembly of Israel, with the women, the little ones, and the strangers who were living among them. Notice the women, the little ones, and the strangers. Obviously, the men are included in this reading. Everyone needs to hear the word of God. This was the book of the law, but we're making application to it in our lives today. We have the New Testament. We have the things written before for our learning. And these are here for us to read and to learn. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. And if we're not using it, then we're not going to be successful. We are not going to be able to have victory in the Lord if we are not heeding His words. These are the actual words that were put into the apostles, the apostolic doctrine that was given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it is only through that that we know what we need to do to please Him. It was read to the women, the little ones, and the strangers who were living amongst them. We know that there are strangers all around us today that do not know the gospel of Christ. We need to read them the word of God, or they're not going to have victory in the Lord. They're going to be defeated, just like the children of Israel were with the city of Ai. God was not with them. God is not with those people in the world who have not named the name of Christ. If you have not been baptized this morning, God is not with you. It's that simple. It's black and white. It's here for us to read. But we have the responsibility to act upon it. If you have sinned and fallen short, it is not too late. God has not come yet. He is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all should repent and come to the knowledge of the truth. He wants you to obey the gospel. He wants you to get your life right. So as we offer the invitation this morning, I want you to take in consideration the things that we have read this morning about the children of Israel. After having defeated the city of Jericho, they were defeated by a small city of Ai for one reason. God was not with them. Is God with you today? If he is, then continue in his way. Continue in that righteous walk as a Christian. And do it all the way up until we get to heaven. You'll be glad you did. You will be happy when you get to heaven. You are there for eternal life. And you can say that you are that servant that has done good, has done well in the sight of God, and he has told you to enter into his rest. But if you have had sin in your life, you have not repented of this, you have not been forgiven of this, God is not with you, but he can be with you today if you repent of that sin. If you make your life right with him, that is the first thing you need to do. Before you make any other goals or resolutions spiritually, you need to understand to purge sin out of your life, to repent of that sin, and be right with God. And it's only then you can accomplish these things. It's only then you can have victory and be in heaven with him someday. So if you have a reason to answer the invitation call, we can help you in any spiritual way. Come forward as we stand and sing the song of invitation.